You know, when I take stock of my life, I'm awed by the things that I see. God has accomplished amazing things in my life, even in spite of my many shortcomings and my sins. You know, there's no reason for God to have called me, except that He has. He has chosen to do so. We read in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, where it says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Jesus Christ before the world began." Given to us before the world began. It's an incredibly powerful statement. You know, it's not my own works. It's not my own greatness. It's not my own power. The Bible even says that even my righteousness is as filthy rags. But it's God's purpose. My job is to learn to fall in line with His purpose, to seek His will for my life. And that alone lies directly with me, solely with me. Let's read Isaiah 45, verses 9 and 11. Isaiah 45 and verse 9 says, "Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, 'What are you making?' Or shall your handiwork say, 'He has no hands'? Woe to him who says to his father, 'What are you begetting?' Or to the woman, 'What have you brought forth?' Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, 'Ask me of the things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands you command me.'" God fashions and places. He guides and directs. And there is no denying his plan. It's in place and it's at work. You know, God has called people through the centuries because he needs to fulfill his plan for salvation. Now, the calling is a curious one. We read in Genesis 12 and beginning in verse 1 of a certain man named Abraham. If you will turn over to Genesis 12 and verse 1, we'll read to verse 9. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make a great nation. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And so they departed to the land of Canaan. And so they came to the land of Canaan." That's far enough. If you do some studying, you find that Abraham's father was an idol worshiper. He lived in a city that was steeped in wickedness, and all the people practiced worshiping idols. It was so we see that Abraham was not raised in a perfect environment. In fact, he was 75 years old when God called him to leave. I can't imagine being 75 years old and having to leave everything and everyone that I knew behind. It would be a really hard thing to do. Yet, Abraham responded. He didn't hem and haw, but he set out. He believed in the promise that God laid out before him. We see that he had faith. Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10. Hebrews 11, beginning of verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he could receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham had faith that God would perform everything that he had shown him. And so he went out, not even knowing where he was going. And he failed many times, but he kept going. Let's read in verse 11 to 16 of Hebrews here. By faith, Sarah, when herself also received strength to conceive seed, she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, was born as many of the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and has prepared a city for them. Embracing things which are unseen is a hard thing to do. You know, they wanted something different than what they saw around them. But they couldn't have done this without the faith in God. In verse 6, it says of Hebrews 11, "But without faith it is impossible to please him who comes to God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." We have to seek God continually. And we can always each find room for improvement. But brethren, we have to believe that we will be receiving a reward. Otherwise, what is the point in carrying on? You know, we all find and read stories in the Bible to which we each can relate in one way or the other. We have to come to realize that the Bible is written for each one of us. It stores up the knowledge that we each need. And then it becomes a personal living book, if we let it be so. Romans 8 and verse 28 states, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." According to the purpose of God. It's hard to see God's purpose sometimes, but he works all things out. It's a challenge to leave it all in God's hands. You know, but in everything, when we look back at our lives and the things that have happened, we should be able to see God's mighty and powerful hand working. And when Jonah fled in the opposite direction from God, where God told him to go do, God used Jonah's rebellion to reveal himself to the sailors on the ship that he had taken. And reading in Jonah 1 and verse 8 to 10, it says, "And they said to him, 'Tell us, on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? Where is your country? And of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. These people didn't know any better. They were just regular people. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, What is this you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So God's plan for Jonah happened, even when Jonah tried to do something else. You know, what God has done for me personally throughout my life has been incredible. No, I'm not super wealthy. No, I didn't win the $1 billion from the lottery. I'm not famous. My Lambo isn't parked outside. But I have the things that I need, and they are a blessing. It's truly awesome to realize the things that God does for us, that Christ is there for us. Let's look at Romans 8, beginning in verse 31. Romans 8, 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? And it is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Therefore, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is nothing that we cannot come to God before and to lay at his feet. He is our sustainer and our guide. And he will continue to do things throughout our stay and time here on this earth. I'd like to close by turning to Psalm 66. And read David's words, because they echo beautifully what I've been talking about here. Psalm 66, in the beginning in verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, or to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name, and make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through greatness of your power, your enemies will submit themselves to you, and the earth shall worship you, and sing praises to you, and they shall sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land, and they went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined, and you have brought us into the net, and you have laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings, and I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams, and I will offer bulls with goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away from my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Brethren, we can each affirm what God has done for us and what he continues and will continue to do for us.